To those who are overseas, all of you who are home, Happy New Year, and it's great to be here. My name is David Robles. I am the family pastor here at The Rock. Thank you.
I'm Darren Carrington, the marriage and parenting pastor here at The Rock Church.
Yeah.
So we're going to tag team a little bit this morning, and we really want to encourage you guys to, if you're a parent, single parent, married, if you are dating, if you don't have kids yet, sign up for the spiritual parenting class so that we can understand what it means to spiritually guide our kids. It's not perfect parenting. Thank God it's not perfect parenting.
Amen.
But it's approaching parenting from a biblical and spiritual perspective. So we're going to be in the lobby after the service. We'd love to meet you. We'd love to answer questions. And we'd love for you to be there. And also, just want to let you guys know, we have programming for all your children from birth all the way to high school. And in your bulletin, you'll see the times for high school. You'll see the times for junior high and for your little ones in Rock Kids. And it's an honor to serve you guys. It's an honor to serve your children. It's an honor to be here. And praise God that He allows us this opportunity to be here.
Amen. Amen.
Speaking of New Year's, Darren, do you have any New Year's resolutions?
Yes. New Year's resolution. Well, it's over because I messed it up this morning. I wanted to start being early places, be on time. Messed that up, as you know, late this morning. But, I mean, I have the whole year to work it out.
Yes, you do.
Be good. We should be good.
Yeah.
How about you? Anything?
Yeah, you know, typical, you know, lose some weight, eat better, try to eliminate this pastoral role right here.
All right, well, you got all year.
Yeah, I got all year.
You got all year to work on it.
So. I kind of broke it this morning, like you, but.
That's all right. That's all right. Jesus forgives us.
Yes, He does. You know, the great thing, though, about New Year's resolutions is that, you know, we make them, we break them, but, you know, Jesus doesn't hold us to it. But the other thing that I was even thinking about is, I don't know why I'm thinking a lot about this, but it's on the topic of parenting, and we're going to talk about that today. And I want you guys to understand that even if you're not a parent, today you're going to walk away with something that's going to speak to you. I remember I have a five-year-old little, well, soon to be five-year-old. She's going to be five in January. Her name is Riley, and I have a 14-month-old, Reese. And I remember when we were in the hospital, Riley was delivered. I remember them bringing her wrapped up, you know, in that cute little blanket that all hospitals seem to have. You know, and every baby seems to have the same picture in the same blanket. But I remember them, you know, bringing her to us wrapped up. And I remember holding her, you know, hours, minutes of being born. And I remember just the epiphany of, wow, I will never go another day without worrying about her well-being. Mm-hmm. Or worrying about her spiritual well-being. And I remember in the hospital just saying, wow, Lord, You have given us, my wife and I, a huge responsibility to lead this child in the way that she should go. And then I remember getting ready for this talk, I was remembering a study that was done in regards to parents and the church. You see, a lot of times I grew up where the church had the responsibility to grow children spiritually. But then I was thinking about this research that was out, and it was saying that on average, the church has about 52 hours to minister to your children, to yourself. And I brought this little gumball machine to represent that. There's 52 gumballs in this little machine. And it was saying that the church, if we come every week, or if we bring our children to church every week, the church really only has about 52 hours to invest in your child spiritually. But on the flip side, it took a year hourly for a parent, and it subtracted, you know, sleep, it subtracted school, and it said that parents, on average, have more than 3,000 hours that they can invest in their children. And really, this is what this represents. We've got 52 hours, and then we've got over 3,000 hours as parents, wherever we fall, have to invest in the children that God has given us. Now, who is the biggest influence? It's the children. It's the parents to the children, not the children. But it's the parents to the child. You know, and I walked away thinking about that, and I really said, Lord, you have given me, my family, my wife, a responsibility to really lead our children spiritually. And then I read in Deuteronomy, if you have your Bible with you, open it up to the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 6.
And word.
We're going to do chapter 6, and we're going to start with verse 4. But before we read this, I want to give you a little context as to what this verse is all about. You see, this verse is also known as the Shema, which is the Jewish confession of faith. You see, the Jewish people took this chapter, and they would repeat it daily. They would also repeat it at the synagogue on the Sabbath. This was something that the Jewish people would live by. And I'm going to read verse 4, and then we'll go from there. It says, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God. The Lord is one. It's referring to the one and only God, the creator of all things, the one who sustains all things, that governs all things, the one that we serve and we believe in. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. These commands that I give you today are to be upon your hearts. This is key here. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up. Tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your foreheads. Write them on the door frames of your houses and on your gates. You see, the Jewish people would put little metal boxes on these door frames, and they would put scripture in them to remind them of the God that they serve, to remind them of who God was. You see, and that's what it's asking us as parents, as grandparents. Maybe you have a neighbor's nieces, aunts. Let's make sure that we are continually reminding our children who Christ is, what he's all about. He's the one. He's the only. You know, as a father, I take this and I say, Lord, what a responsibility you have given me to lead my children spiritually. You see, we can teach our kids how to behave, but if there's no reasoning for that behavior, we have to make sure that we are understanding what the spiritual is in our children's life. We have to allow Christ to be formed in them, but at the same time in us. But parenting is quite difficult.
It's quite a task, yes, I must say. Yeah, very, very difficult. I wish that when, you know, they give you that child and they have that fresh baby smell, that they give you a little pamphlet, a little email address, I mean a website for you to go to say, hey, this is how you do it, you know, from year to year. Did anybody get a handbook, anything? No parents got anything? I mean, I don't remember getting anything either. I have three kids, and I thought it ended at 18, but things just get more expensive at 18. My daughter just turned 22 yesterday, and then I have a 17-year-old son and a 13-year-old daughter. She's not here, who's going on 21. But I can remember when I was teaching my kids how to drive, and sometimes we see things and we think we could do them. We see it, but we think we can do it, and that's not always the case. I remember teaching my kids how to drive, and I would sit them on my lap and let them steer up the hill and let them turn. And, you know, then, you know, as they progress, I'll let them push the gas pedal, and as they progress, you know, more and more and more. And I was just thinking about, imagine if my daughter, who's 13, who's seen me drive all her life, she came to me and said, Dad, you know, I've been watching you drive for about 13 years now, and I think I got it. So why don't you just go ahead and give me the keys and let me show you how it's done. Like, we would laugh at that. But if you think about it, that's how a lot of people parent. We've seen certain things happen, right, in our lives as far as the way our parents parented us. And some of the mistakes that we make is we figure, well, since I turned out okay, I can just do what my parents did. I think I turned out okay, but I don't want my kids to do what I did. Oh, my goodness. I do not. Can I get an amen? No way. Or sometimes we just want to be homies with our kids, right? We just want to be friends, right? You want your parents, you know, you want to be cool. No. See, it's a difference. You have the old school parenting and you have new school, okay? The new school is timeouts, you know, talk. The old school was, if you do that one more time, I'm going to pull the belt out. That was a timeout, right? Old school was, oh, you about to get your behind whooped. And you want to call CPS, I would dial a number and hand you the phone. Right? Oh, how many? Anyway, where's the old school people in the house? Old school, that's what I'm saying. Old school. And here's one of my personal favorites. Your kid asks you to do something, and you say no, and they want you to talk, explain why. Sometimes you could explain. But one of the old school, what'd they say? Course I said so. Yeah. Yes. Love that. But a lot of times we learn different things from what we've seen, but we always have to make sure we remember that this right here is where we should learn. This is the absolute standard of truth, the Word of God. In Ephesians, it talks about, our time is short, so let me read it to you. It says in Ephesians 6:4, it says, fathers, or we can equate that to parents, do not provoke your children to anger by the way you treat them. Rather, bring them up with the discipline and instruction that comes from the Lord. Parenting is difficult, as David alluded to. And, man, we need help. I need help. We all need help. There's no exact science of if you do things this way, your kids will turn out great. I wish I could tell you that, but that's not the case. But then we have the Holy Spirit who is there, who guides us. And in Romans 8, it says, 8:26, it says, and the Holy Spirit helps us in our weakness. For example, we do not know what God wants us to pray for, but the Holy Spirit prays for us with groanings that cannot be expressed in words. And the Father who knows all hearts knows what the Spirit is saying, for the Spirit pleads for us, believers, in harmony with God's own will. That's what we want. We as parents, we have to be what we want our kids to be, first and foremost. And we have to be reminded is that more is caught than taught. We can say whatever we want, but if we're not living it, in most cases, your kids are going to do what they see.
So praise God for the Holy Spirit.
Amen for the Holy Spirit.
Amen for the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
And you know, today we're going to split this in two parts, and Mickey is going to come out and speak in the second part, but he's going to speak about God being formed in us. And I truly believe that in order for us to be effective as individuals and as parents and to be able to pass on the spiritual to our parents, God has to be formed in us. We have to allow the Holy Spirit to form in us so that we can do what he has called us to do. And I want to encourage you guys today to open your hearts and allow Christ to form you into who he has called you to be, so that we could be better parents, so that we can lead our children to Christ, so that they can allow Christ to be formed in them. And that's our hope, is that you feel encouraged today. And let's welcome Pastor Mickey up on stage, and he's going to finish us off.
Dr. Mickey.
I'm going to hang out here. Okay. How y'all doing? Hey, my name is Mickey, if I haven't met you, one of the pastors on the pastoral team. And we had scheduled Michelle, who is going to be here talking about spiritual parenting. And she had an accident sliding on an inner tube down a big mountain of snow. And so couldn't be with us. She's doing okay. Mickey, Michelle, so I'm going to have my tender side here today as we go through. And with the time we have left, actually, we're going to do more of a devotional reflection on this concept of Christ being formed in you. And so I'm going to ask you to pull out your study guide. It's there in your bulletin. A lot of the scriptures I'm going to make reference to are there. We actually have a blog, a pastor's blog. Miles, our pastor, writes interacts with different themes and things on a regular basis, and it's on our webpage. Those watching online, you can go there at Pastor's Blog, and you'll see a list of the various postings that have been there. And last night, reflecting on this message, because we do have limited time, I've put a little more thought, or some of the thoughts in writing. You can go visit that and look up some of the scriptures there as well. But really, the concept, we talking about family, and even if you're single, you someday, you know, I've asked here before, how many of you have the gift of single to stay single your entire life? And that's a rare gift. So most of us are on journey to connect in relationship, perhaps to be married, to have children. I really want to encourage, one of the best things I did as a single person is I got involved with the children's ministry, learning about kids and you know, just connecting with a great ministry team. We've put on there on your study guide a list of scriptures for parents and encouragement for you as you study along this theme of family. And then also some concepts by Luther and G. Campbell Morgan, some great things. But let's think about this theme. This is the new year, and I want to encourage us to reflect upon a happy new you, as I know that's what God has for us. The scripture there out of 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17, that's there on your study guide. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. This is a great promise. And we as family, you know, it's a privilege for us to, as pastors, to be able to serve you. You are an amazing group of people. As you know, the church is not a place you go to. The church, biblically, is who we are. We're a community, as the Bible describes us as family. You have those scriptures listed there. Paul, he writes to the church of Galatia. He says, "My little children, for whom I labor in birth again until Christ is formed in you." And John wrote in 1 John 1:12, "But as many as have received Jesus, him, to them he gave the right to become the children of God." John wrote, "I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in the truth." Well, here's the concept. The Bible describes God's people as family. In fact, if you take the entire text of Scripture, this is a book about marriage, and it's a book about parenting, the entire book. You see, God as Father, we have a relationship with Him as His children. And as Father, He's revealing His Father heart to us as He's leading us into an understanding of who we are and who we're to become as His children. The Bible describes God as Christ as the groom and we as the bride of Christ. And in that sense, it's a whole book about marriage, a covenant marriage of grace between Jesus Christ and His people. Now, as Paul is writing to the church of Galatia, you get this sense, his heart is so burdened for God's people because they fell into a trap of religion in the sense that they had the rituals and obligations and all the rules, and they were missing the beauty of this intimate relationship with the living God by faith. In fact, that's why he says there in Galatians, "My little children, for whom I labor in birth again until Christ is formed in you." They were reverting back to a lot of the Jewish practices and thought they had to earn God's love. I love doing weddings. I love to just time the highlights that we have privilege as pastors to serve you. It's sometimes the greatest heights and joys of life as you dedicate your children to the Lord, get married, and then also to bear the burdens when you go through times of difficulty and challenge for counsel and times where we've perhaps lost a loved one. Well, a couple of years ago, we had a wedding. I was officiating, and it was a beautiful couple. They love each other, love God, and it was down at Balboa Park. And they had their whole ceremony, you know, family and friends were there. And they wanted to have as part of their ceremony a releasing of doves, which is beautiful. It's a symbolism of peace and setting free, and they had these images. And so instead of going and renting a couple homing pigeon-type doves that, you know, they release, they fly around and come back, they went to a pet store and bought two doves. And they were in a cage. I don't think they've ever been out of that cage their whole life. And so we got to the end of the ceremony, and the best man hands me the dove, and I'm talking about peace and new life together as we start off and being free to become one. And I threw these doves, Balboa Park, up in the air, and one went straight down and flew right into a wall. Boom! Falls down. You know, I was like, not a good way to start a metaphor of marriage, you know. The other one went up and just clung up onto this terrace there, and there's this hawk up in one of the eucalyptus tree looking down. It's like, okay, lunch, you know. And I actually carried it on a little further to my mistake. I went and, you know, got that poor wounded dove. It was okay, and I thought, we'll try again. I threw it higher. Same thing. It just went right for the wall. You know, by then, it was just kind of shaking over there in a corner, and I thought, whoa, bad metaphor, perhaps. You know, but life has its twists, doesn't it? You know, we all have our dreams and ideals, and, you know, I was fishing for anything to try to get this metaphor to fit this marriage. They're still married, by the way, so that's a good thing. And, you know, we have this relationship together. Now, I want to take this concept of family. In fact, you have on your guide there, who's your daddy? You know, you're really part of one or two families. One or two families, as either God, as it says there, are you a reflection of God's image? Is God your father? And we go to the scripture there, Genesis chapter 1, verse 26. If you would turn there, right at the very beginning of the Bible, creation, God has entered into this relationship with Adam and Eve, and a beautiful declaration as part of our creation. He says there in verse 26, then God said, let us make man in our image according to our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, over the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him, male and female. He created them. And so here's the concept. We were to be a reflection of God. We were created in his image. Well, this takes place in the first couple chapters of Genesis, right here in the beginning. We have the relationship of people in relationship to each other and with God. They loved one another. They had no shame. There was no guilt, no sorrow. They had this beautiful mutuality, love, intimacy, friendship. All was there, perfect harmony. The problem is, chapter 3 enters into our history. Sin entered into the human race. Now, do you realize all of this in your Bible is written because of chapter 3. It's given to us to bring us back to this place of transformation, to get back to who God had originally intended us to be. And so I've listed there a number of scriptures, encourage you to look those over. There in 2 Corinthians in chapter 3:18, Philippians chapter 3, Romans in chapter 8, a number of places in scriptures where it talks about this process of transformation, that we literally can be transformed back into the image of who God would have us to be, into the image of Christ, into the image of God. And this transformation process is what Paul's referring to, until Christ is formed in you. I had the privilege of speaking this just a couple of weeks ago for the ladies in our 1825 ministry. The young adults ministry at the warehouse, and the women were gathered together, and we were looking at a father's love, and I asked the question, describe for me the perfect man. Now, the ladies, they were thinking for a second, and they're describing, you know, well, he would be godly, he would be attentive, he would be a good listener, he would be humble, gracious, a servant, and they go through this whole list, you know. And I said, who did you just describe? And they said, well, Jesus. And I said, exactly. And I said, now, I have some good news and bad news. The good news is you have the target of what an authentic man should be like. That is the goal. Of course, the bad news is what? There's only one of them, you know, there's only one Jesus. So everyone's going to fall short. But the key, any relationships that we have should be moving in this direction. Because as we approach closer to our design and what is authentic and who God is desiring to be, that is where fulfillment, the joys of intimacy and friendship, to get back to that created essence of who God has designed us to be. And know this, if you are in relationships that are moving in this direction, it doesn't end up there. It doesn't end up there. And so God's desire, and as Paul was writing to a church, he's realizing they're moving away from what God's design was because they entered into this religion of obligation and duty and rules and miss this journey of faith by God's grace. Do you realize that we enter into relationship with God by grace through faith? The Bible says if you'll confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. It's a work of God's grace that we receive by faith. Now, many make the mistake thinking, okay, I'm saved by God's grace, by what he did on the cross for me, but now I grow by what I do. I got to work my way to God. And that's where the church of Galatia had missed the mark. You see, we're saved by grace, and we grow by grace. And faith, and the means of which God empowers us to experience transformation, is not by human effort, but it's a work of the Spirit. Now, let me share this with you. Do you realize right now, if you have an authentic faith in Jesus Christ, there is nothing you can do, or nothing you have done, that will make him love you any less? And you also realize there is nothing you can do or will do that will make him love you anymore. You are loved with the ultimate love relationship by the God of the universe through the work that God has done. He calls us sons and heirs of God, joint heirs with Jesus Christ. And yet there's this process of transformation. When my daughter had her first child, just at the hospital, we're outside in the waiting room, and then she gives birth to her little girl. And the first chance I have as her dad to come into the room, it was just my daughter, myself, and her little girl. She's holding little Kennedy in her arms, cradling her, and I walk in, and as I see her, she looks at me, and I said, Shiloh, for 20-some-odd years, I could never tell you how much I love you. And you can never understand the heart that I have for you as your father. But I think you understand it now, don't you? And with tears down her eyes, she's looking at her little girl going, yes. And then I said, are you ready to have another one? You know, kind of a grandpa, you know, I want lots of grandchildren. But she was like, yes, for this kind of love. You know, and then to imagine that love that God has for us. He loves you so much that he actually sacrificed his son for you and for me. Not while we were good and all together, but while the Bible says, while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. God's love for you and that work of transformation by grace, by God's grace, will do the work from inside out. It's not, you know, the flesh can't defeat the flesh. It has to be a work of the Spirit. And so are you a reflection of God's image? Are you in this process of transformation? Or are you a reflection of the devil's image? You see, in John 8, Jesus asks the religious people, he says, if you were of my children, you would be doing what I say, but you're of your father, the devil, and the works of your father you do. We're in one or two families. Now, as we wrap this up, I just want to give you three scriptures, three things to hang on to as we head on to this new you, the new year as we move forward. And it's experience that the early church had. Now, my granddaughter, we were playing in one of the public playgrounds, and they had a big sand area, and she had some sand toys, and her little brother was with her. And as she was digging and building castles and everything, another little child came over and didn't have any play toys and sat with us and then grabbed a shovel and grabbed a bucket and started to play right alongside of my granddaughter. And then my granddaughter, you know, being 4 or 5 years old, just kind of was a little bothered. She gathered up all the toys and her brother moved down a little bit further away and plopped down again and started to dig. And well, this little guy who had no toys came and followed them over there, sat down, grabbed another shovel, started to dig a little more. And so I thought, you know, what a great teaching opportunity, you know, of generosity, times we give and we share. And so I said to my granddaughter, I said, you know, Kennedy, sometimes it's good to share with our friends. They don't have, we have, and we can share with them. She looked right up at me and looked at the little boy, looked at her toys, and then said, sometimes it is good to share, but sometimes it's not good to share, and this is one of those times. Picked up her toys and then moved right down. And it was kind of like, wow, why are we like that? You know, that work of transformation that's needed. Well, sometimes it's time to share, sometimes it's not time to share. Well, this is one of those times where God would have a season of life as we walk with Him, as He's teaching us to let go of all the struggles and frustrations of trying to be better at being a Christian. And I want to encourage you to surrender to God's plan. And here we see the early church, just three quick scriptures in the book of Acts that really give the foundation for this formation of life in Christ. There in Acts chapter 4, verse 13, it says, now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were uneducated, untrained men, they marveled and they realized that they had been with Jesus. Get this, they were uneducated, untrained, hadn't been to seminary, didn't have all the answers, but this they took notice of, they had spent a lot of time just being with Jesus. My first B, if we call them, you know, these are literally B attitudes in the sense that these are what we need to be and the attitudes we need to have. Make this year, as just recalibrate your course to just be more in relationship with Jesus Christ. Be with Jesus. What does that mean? Not because I have to, not because it's a religious duty, not responsibility, I got to read the Bible, I got to pray, I got to memorize, I got to do these things, but in this love relationship, learn to just sit at Jesus' feet as Mary and Martha, two sisters in the Bible. One was busy about many things, and Mary just sat at Jesus' feet, listening to the one she loved. I want to encourage you this year, take time out of your busy schedules, all of us together, and learn to hear the voice of God. Learn to communicate, not because I'm supposed to or duty, but out of this love relationship, as your father wants to have this relationship with you, as a husband with his bride to wash in the water of the word. Number two, not just be with Jesus, but here in Acts chapter 2, it says, so continuing daily with one accord in the temple and the breaking of bread from house to house, they ate their food with gladness, simplicity of heart, praising God and having favor with all people. And the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved. Be with Jesus. And number two, we need to be in community. Be together. Now, it's fascinating that the two great commands are love God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. It's a community of relationship. And let me encourage you, as the Rock Church has so many aspects of ministry for you, to be connected in community. The 1825 ministry, real developing, a real intimate group of relationships as we meet together in small groups. The men's ministry, the women's ministry. We have the Impact 195 that's launching in a week. You have the whole week free to go. As 9 months, you commit to this dynamic community that's just focused on Jesus Christ. And then we have a new small groups pastor, Dave Stewart, that's starting this week to really strengthen the whole culture here at The Rock, that we would experience a richer, deeper community of love one with another. As God transforms us into the likeness of Christ, as we reach out to our community outside of this building, authentic because of who God is transforming us to be. And then finally here in Acts chapter 4, it says, when they had prayed, the place where they were assembled together was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and they spoke the word of God with boldness. Now I want to point out here, in each of these scripture references, you'll find as they were with Jesus, their witness, God did amazing things through their ministry. Many people were getting saved. They started to speak the word of God with boldness. Things started to happen the more they were connected to Jesus Christ. On the blog, you'll read out an encouragement out of John 15 to abide in Christ, because that's where the abundance of the fruit comes. The third B, be filled with the Spirit. In fact, the scripture commands us to be being filled. It's an ongoing. You're either filled with the flesh or you're filled with God's Spirit. And the fruit of His Spirit transformation is going to be love, joy, peace, patience, all the virtues of slowing down to connect with the root of the vine as the fruit of Christ is manifest in our life. Now, we're going to close and do something a little different, totally different from the culture, totally different from what you're used to in your life here in Southern California. And a lot of you, as soon as I tell you this, are going to want to bolt out of here. You're going to want to run. You're going to make for the car. You've got things to do, but that is the whole point. Transformation takes time. In fact, Bob Vernon, he was the police chief up in L.A., he shares the story as a patrol cop. He saw a car, went rolled right through a stop sign. He pulls him over. He's going to write him a ticket. And the guy's like, why am I getting a ticket? And he says, well, you didn't stop. You rolled through the stop sign, California stop. He goes, well, I slowed down. So he says to him, well, what does the sign say? He says, well, it says stop, but I slowed down. And so he pulls out his billy club and starts tapping him on the head. And it's like, ow, ow, what are you doing? He says, do you want me to slow down or stop? Now, most of us don't even know how busy. You get in a car, you turn on the radio, there's noise, there's activity, everything. Formation takes time for us to commune in relationship where we really hear and communicate with God and with one another. So I'm going to ask you to connect to one another. Take 3 minutes, maybe 4 minutes, and actually connect with two or three other people and actually introduce yourself and say, wow, we're part of a family together, that someone you're sitting by can actually know your name. And then if you wouldn't mind, if one of you that feels most comfortable to pray out loud for your group, would you lead in prayer for this group that this year could be a year of transformation for us, that we would be filled with the Spirit. And then we could run for the cars and go do everything we have planned, you know. I don't think the Charger game, I guess if we win or lose doesn't matter, so that even can wait. But here's what I want you to do. Take time to connect with one another and just pray, Lord, slow us down that we can experience the new life that you have for us and to break free from all the entanglements that are there. So go ahead and turn, and we'll have some of our leaders up front after the service. If you just need special prayer or there's certain burdens or you want to be filled with the Spirit and want one of the pastors to lay hands on you, do that. But before we take off, go ahead, turn, introduce yourself, and pray for each other.